I ask you to stand as you are able. If it is difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the words of the prophet Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, the word of the Most Holy God says this: "The word of the Lord came to me, 'What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge.' As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. The person who sins shall die. A child shall not suffer for the iniquity of a parent, nor a parent suffer for the iniquity of a child. The righteousness of the righteous shall be his own, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be his own." The Corinthians, the second Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 17. "For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many. In Christ, we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in his presence." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We are in a sermon series. I didn't know we were in a sermon series till we got to the third one and God said, "Do you recognize it? It's a series." And I said, "Oh, cool." Because as most of you know, I don't know what God wants me to say until fairly close to Sunday. Sometimes Sunday morning. Because he thinks if he tells me things too early, I will just mess it up. So every Sunday, it's always, "Okay, God, what are we doing today?" So I honestly didn't know we were in a series until yesterday. When it came to me that what God had given me 2 weeks ago was about the paradox of the human condition, that we are mortal and immortal, that we are weak and powerful, we are ignorant and we are wise, we're cheap and we're priceless, we're cowardly, we're courageous. All of this stuff is so true of human beings. We are a clay jar, but within us is the most priceless thing of all. So naturally then, it should not be that unusual when we think that when we have all of this potential inside us, either good or ill, that society, some have chosen the good and some have chosen the ill. Remember last week we talked about Jonah going to Nineveh and teaching them that they needed to repent. And he walked through the city and said, "Repent. For in 40 days, God is going to destroy Nineveh." And amazingly enough, they believed. And when they believed, they turned from their evil ways, they actively sought God, and they actively sought to do good. So here we are in our human paradox with a choice. And we have a bent toward doing evil. I always get tickled at people who talk about the innocence of children. People who talk about the innocence of children have never had a child. People who talk about the innocence of children have never been around a child. I'm not sure they've ever met a child. Because, friends, we don't come here innocent. We come here thinking that the entire universe should revolve around us. We are selfish. We are mean. We want what we want when we want it, and unfortunately, some people never grow out of it. You don't have to teach a child to lie. "I don't know who broke the cookie jar." You have to teach a child to tell the truth. You don't have to teach them to be lazy. You have to teach them to work. We come here, our human condition, the sin of Adam, our original state, brings us the bent toward sinning. So, since all of us are born with that, the only remedy is repentance. And we talked about that last week. So, we have recognized our paradox. We have recognized our need to repent. And today, I want us to talk about responsibility. Say that word. Responsibility. Comprised of two words, response and ability. We have the ability to choose how we respond. We cannot control many things that happen in our lives. Am I right? Everybody understand that? Okay, we have no control over some of that. Some of it we do. Some of it is a natural consequence. But a lot of what happens to us is just because we live in a fallen world and weird stuff happens here. And sometimes good stuff happens and sometimes bad stuff happens. But we are able to choose how we respond. We have the power over our response. That's what responsibility is about. We have the power to respond. Now, back to my illustration of the child with the cookie jar. All of us have occasionally reached for the cookie before dinner. I mean that both literally and metaphorically. We have tried to gain something, usually inappropriately when something like this happens, and something goes wrong. An accident. It is so normal for us to put the blame elsewhere. It's not my fault. How many times have we said it? It's not my fault. Too many, amen. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's the way I was brought up. That one just burns me. I was brought up that way. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, I was brought up that way if it's, you know, you're doing the right thing. But when I was brought up that way and you know what you're doing is wrong, folks, it said very clearly in our scripture today, you don't get that excuse. Because you're the one that chose. Now see, I found, when I discovered this, and I discovered it years and years and years ago, but when I discovered this, I was really bummed out. Because I had really good excuses for a lot of stuff. Let's just pick one, because picking on me's, you know, better than picking on you. And we will pick the one of my obvious sins. And we'll talk about me not taking the proper care of myself when it comes to my weight. Now, my father's family are porkers. All of them. When I was young, I couldn't reach around my father. My daddy was about here on me, and he was this big. I never knew exactly how much daddy weighed, but he was this big. And even when I was adult, like I am now, that's as far as I could go around daddy. All my aunts and uncles, same thing. So it was easy for me to blame a genetic predisposition to being heavy because it couldn't possibly be the Doritos. It couldn't be McDonald's. That couldn't be it. Because there are people in the world who I have seen who can, you know, eat like a field hand and are still this big around, my brother being one of them. My brother Michael, I have seen him eat enough for the entire family and never gain an ounce. Now, so since I couldn't blame genetic predisposition, I decided I'd blame God. That's God's fault. Why didn't He give me Michael's ability to burn those calories? Why didn't I get his metabolism instead of mine? What's up with that? But I can't blame God, because the Bible that we just read says, I am responsible for what I do. I am responsible for what I don't do. Now, while that gives us the problem of not being able to blame others, it also gives us the most wonderful gift we could ever be given. The ability to change. It gives us the ability to, in those things that we can be responsible for, it allows us to win or lose. There's a difference. When I want you to learn these words, okay? This is important. So repeat after me. I did it. Now, when something goes wrong and it's your fault, then you say, I did it. I usually say, it's on me. That one's on me. I did that. And I'm one of those people that has to confess right away, by the way. I cannot not confess. I'm one of those people whose conscience will not allow them to even function if I haven't been able to apologize and confess something. So you won't ever have to worry about me doing anything on the slip slide, because, folks, I can't stand it. I got to confess right away. If I have done something and then realize that I've done it, I've got to say, I am so sorry. That's on me. I did that. Even though I had a really good excuse. No. I'm kidding about the last part. Well, almost kidding about the last part. But on the other hand, when we achieve something, when God gives us the gifts and the graces to go through something and to achieve it, then we can go, I did it. I didn't think I could do it, but I did it. Everybody else said I couldn't do it, but I did it. I did it are some very powerful words. Very powerful words, because, folks, we are responsible. I have heard the people in this church many, many, many times talking about feelings of entitlement for other people. You know, other people. None of us, of course, feel entitled, but other people. You know who I'm talking about? Them. You know, them. Those people that feel like the world owes them something. Those people that want all the perks without any of the responsibility. You know, we have a world that's full of that right now. Why do we have that? Why does that exist right now? Because we had a generation of people who said, I want my children to have more than I had. And they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave, thinking they were doing their children a service, but they didn't. Because now those kids feel like they're entitled to it. And then all of a sudden they hit the cold, hard world, which says, You're not. I ain't your mommy. I ain't your daddy. I ain't picking up after you, and you're going to take care of yourself. And they don't know how to do that. Aren't you glad that God holds us responsible? He holds us responsible. Because if he didn't, we'd be lazy. We'd be blamers. And we would have every excuse in the book for not doing what we know to do. And he holds us responsible. But he also empowers us to make the correct response. He didn't just throw us out there on our own. We stand before him in his presence. Always. And he's there to help. And he won't. He's not going to be a father that you're going along and you start to stumble and not reach out. He'll catch us because he's right there. He helps us to choose correctly when we remember to ask what's the right choice. Have you ever noticed that we only seem to ask what the right choice is every once in a while? We only ask when, you know, if we really want something else, we don't ask. Remember me telling, some of you probably weren't even here. This has been quite a while back. Remember me telling you about the tithing thing when I was a little kid? When I was a little bitty girl, I got a bunch of money for my birthday. And I knew that I should tithe that. But I really, really, really wanted two Barbie dresses, not one. So what I did was, I took a piece of paper about the size of my thumb, and I snuck it up to Fletcher Street. It's the road we lived on, which, by the way, was the street to and from the Levi Strauss plant. And I put that little piece of paper right there, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to tithe, then come evening, that piece of paper will be right there. Now, was the piece of paper there? No. Well, hey. We had just finished the study of fleece. What can I tell you? I knew what to do, but I didn't want to do it, so I put God to a test. Was I being responsible? No. Because I knew what to do, I just didn't want to. That is how we are. So many times we know what to do, but we don't want to. So I'm not responsible. How many times have I heard people say, I am not responsible for the welfare of others? I'm going to take care of me and mine. Other people need to be responsible for others. I have searched the Bible through, and I cannot find anywhere where it says that I am excused by other people's irresponsibility. If you can find it, let me know, because I really would like to have that one. I really would. But it's not there, I don't think. I am responsible for being like Christ, whether other people are or not. I'm responsible to forgive no matter what. I am responsible to care no matter what. I am responsible to give no matter what. I can't use an excuse. And when the good things happen, I can say, I was a part of that. I got to be part of that. You know, what's really cool is I have seen throughout this room, I look at these faces, and I have seen almost all of you at some point or another when we have done something, some event, some charitable work, when we have done something that has improved the lives of others and their spiritual condition. I have seen you all, no matter how much you grumbled while you were doing it, say, I was so blessed by that. I was so blessed by that. Now, it may have taken us a long time, and maybe not enough people showed up, and maybe we ended up having to do more work than we were kind of hoping we'd have to do, but when it was all said and done, I've heard you say, I was so blessed by that. Because we were responsible. We need a little more responsibility. Let me allay some fear. This is just an aside. It won't cost you any extra. Last week I had somebody say, you're getting ready to leave, aren't you? Because you're preaching hard. As far as I know, I ain't going nowhere. Yeah. I want to get more done. The people of Kendricks Creek United Methodist Church, the members, the regular attenders, the friends, all of those who think of this church as their home need to be responsible for shouldering some of the burden for mission. It doesn't just happen, people. Long time ago, they figured out it took 85 things just to have this service on Sunday morning. Somebody has to do that. Somebody comes and opens the doors. Somebody sets the heat or the air conditioning. The bulletins are printed. The seats are ready for you to sit in. All of those things, somebody did. You need to step up and say, I'm somebody. Be somebody. Be somebody. Because we are responsible. It is a privilege to be trusted like that. God trusts you. That's scary. It's scary when I think he trusts me. Knowing all my foibles and he trusts me, what's he thinking? But he trusts me. And because I know he trusts me, I want to work. I want to do what he's expecting me to do. I had a professor once at the University of Tennessee. When we walked in, he gave us all an A. Walked in the door, we sat down, it was a graduate class. There was maybe 6 of us in the class. The graduate classes are usually pretty small. And we went in, it was a educational psychology, pharmacology class, and we went in, we sat down. Professor came in, laid his stuff out, and said, and I quote, everybody in here has an A. Now let's learn something. I worked myself to death for that man because he'd already given me an A. The Lord God Almighty has already given me eternal life. He has already given me the power of the Holy Spirit that is with me at all times. He has given me gifts. He has given me graces. He has given me talents. He's given me all of these things. Should I not work to be worthy of what He's already given? Let's be responsible. Because each of us is accountable for our little piece of the puzzle, our piece of this tapestry we call life. I can't do yours. Only you can. Are you willing? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.